Welcome to the See You Next Summer podcast. I'm your host, Billy Polahan, and with me, as always, is the Joe Mantegna to my fat asshole lawyer, Mr. Raul Rodriguez. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. I could be a partially Italian shady guy trying to fuck up with Romani people, with gypsies.
He's essentially playing Fat Tony in this.
And this is a perfect baby days out.
You could... You can combine the two of them, and then they'd be Fat Tony from The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever I see Joe Mantegna, all I think of is Rossi from Criminal Minds.
Oh, well, for me, it's always going to be Baby.
Which is coming back, by the way, in this month.
Everything gets remade.
Yes. Yes, it does. But we're not here to talk about Criminal Minds, unfortunately.
Isn't that like 17 seasons or something?
15, but who's counting? Well. It's also like 30 episodes each, so whatever. We're here actually to continue Stephen King month.
Yes.
And this is a movie I've never seen, and I don't know if I want to see it again, but I was all right that I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Thinner. So this is about this ridiculously overweight, comically overweight lawyer named Billy. And a rare case where the story is not set in Maine. It's Connecticut. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's another reason why critics didn't like it. It was because they're like, it's not in the Maine verse.
It's not in the Maine cinematic universe.
Anyway, he kills somebody and then he gets cursed.
Mm-hmm.
It's essentially just a lesser Drag Me to Hell.
Yes. Now that you brought that up, I was like, I'm pretty sure maybe Sam Raimi saw this and was like, yeah, I can make it better.
And he did.
Yeah, and he did. And for me, I have a special place in my horror knowledge because this is the first Stephen King movie I ever saw when I was like 6 or 7. I saw this on cable. So, and even watching it right now after like 20-something years, there's still some scenes that I'm like, they were still in my brain, especially with the pie. and the ending, and I told Billy, I'm pretty sure maybe that's why I still like this movie even now, because it has a me ending. It has one of the like big angle of irony, but it's also a dark ending too as well.
But it could have gone darker. That's what I wanted.
Yes,
it's a rare case where darker. I wanted it to be darker, and Raul was fine with it.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting that you wanted something darker, though.
Oh my God, there was no redeemable characters in this movie.
Well, I think that's the point, because it's about scummy people fucking
up. But you need at least one.
You know what? I'm going to sound like the pretentious millennial Gen Z person right now, but this movie is about racism.
This movie is incredibly racist.
Yes, incredibly racist, yes. It's about the white man going against Romani people.
Yes.
And how the white man will destroy them too.
There's even a moment, we'll get to the carnival scene, but there is a moment where I was just like, take the fucking elephant!
Yes!
No, you know what moment I'm talking about. That's the kind of acting. Yes. Now imagine that acting throughout the entire movie, where it's fine in small doses, but everyone's overacting.
Wait, this movie was made in 1996. Wasn't Dark Man also 1995 or 1996?
I would have to fact check that. But
yeah,
anyway.
Because I'm like, Sam Raimi was not available.
Darkman was 1990.
Ah!
And this was 1996. Yep. Wow. You're my birth.
Damn. Yeah, but I like this story. But moments that we're going to get there, because it also kind of like represents some stuff that I'm like, of course, a little far-fetched, but as a large man, I know the feeling, especially like one of the first things that he's taking up even his wallet to go to the weight station to check on his weight. I'm like, bitch, I do that naked sometimes because I don't even want the weight of the towel.
Okay. So I'm on the IMDb plot synopsis as well. But this guy, Billy Halleck, and yes, the description of him is pretty accurate, is an arrogant, because yeah, this is an arrogant son of a bitch, obese, upper class lawyer. And it says that that's right, they're in Castle Rock. So this is in Maine. And Castle Rock is also a story by Stephen King, so maybe it is part of the Maine verse. But he does drive to Connecticut, because later in the movie. And he has his daughter, Linda, and his wife, Heidi. Mm-hmm. And she looks like every generic 90s spouse for me.
Karen?
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And he is defending Richie the Hammer Ginelli, played by Joe Mantegna.
Baby, and, this style, baby.
Yeah, we see that this guy definitely is, he's just a scummy lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a slick talker, sort of like a Saul Goodman, but with less redeemable qualities, if that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, he wins the case, and this dude, he eats way more than, he eats almost as much as I do. And I love to eat. Like, he, it's disgusting hearing. But, like, it's disgusting hearing just the
chewing sounds. He has a big bag of Doritos outside of the courtroom. And I'm like, oh my God.
That's me at my home. I eat like crazy. It's probably why I gained a ton of weight, but whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Anyway.
So he's 300 pounds. That's another thing that we had to.
He's on a diet, which he doesn't stick to. He's on
a
diet,
yeah. Eating a lot of crap, but eating those fucking Slim Fast milkshakes, telling people that didn't grow up in the 90s or 2000s, those shakes suck. They didn't do anything.
So his reactions are actually pretty spot on.
Yeah, they're spot on.
He's like, oh, okay, this isn't doing anything. And they have the early computers as well.
Yeah, like the pump thing. He liked to put in all of the weights and everything, yeah.
Yeah, and so there's also a carnival that's happening, and we find out that the judge immediately, who's a friend of his, is incredibly racist, uses a lot of terms that we will not use in this episode, but obviously he's just like, oh, those people and stuff, they shouldn't be here.
They will bring to, like, decision just, prostitution, he said.
Why? Yeah, he's one of those guys, upper-class white men. This movie really hates the upper class white man, as they should.
Also, is it me or that gypsy girl with the red dress? Did she look like a lost cousin of Catherine Zeta-Jones?
A little. Was it only...
She looked a little.
She was awesome, though.
Yeah, she was cool.
She's obviously like teasing him, but then she just flips him off and then spits in his direction.
Yep.
Like, damn. Oh yeah, and she's got a slingshot as well. That's another Stephen King story with a slingshot. What's up with that? Maybe he based his heroes on like Dennis the Menace or something. I don't know.
Dennis the Menace, especially you saw the live action movie, you feel bad for Walter Matthau.
I do. And also Walter Matthau. He was just one of those actors that was always an old man. Like, you can never see him as anything else.
Wasn't Dennis the Menace one of the last movies he made before he died?
Definitely later on in his career, for sure. For sure. But we're not here to talk about Dennis the Menace either. But anyway, they celebrate. Heidi and Billy go to celebrate. They're having upper class meals dinner and stuff.
With a card of desserts.
That dessert looks delicious, though. And then she's like, no. Anyway, they're driving home. He's had a bit of champagne. And the fat suit that... this guy,
Chuck Bass' father.
Yes, Robert John Burke is his name. It looks good.
I'm Bart Bass.
Yeah, the practical stuff on him looks a great. Yeah, just looks great. And this is directed by Tom Holland, not the actor, but the guy who did Fright Night and Child's Play, and another Stephen King classic, The Langoliers. So he
not the Flagging Namuses.
Yes, the weird purple testicle things, whatever, with like lawnmower mouths. But that has Balky from Perfect Strangers just eating it up, literally. Mm-hmm. And this one has a car blowjob.
I need to bring this up because that's one of the first times I knew about a blowjob when I was a kid. And I'm like, he got punished because of getting a blowy. And I'm like, when I saw Scary Movie like 3 years later, and I'm like, is the Wayan brothers giving a nod to Thinner?
Maybe. Yeah, she's just like, you need to celebrate other stuff aside from food. I don't know why she stays with him. This dude is an asshole.
Clearly. Not only that, it's super stereotypical. It's like, he's like, I can only think of food. What fucking asshole will only think of food? Like 24/7.
When you got a decent skinny wife with you as well. Uh-huh. And he does not care about his daughter either. She's like, I love you. He doesn't say anything. He's just mm-hmm. stuffing his face like a glutton. I get that's the point, but mm-hmm. still, you need to have something to root for this guy. There's no, for me, there's no save
like
the cat.
Like in Drag Me to Hell, you could compare it that she has like an aspiration or goals.
Yeah, there's so in storytelling, innocent. There's what's called save the cat moment, mm-hmm. where the character, the main character or something, you can make him as unlikable as ever, but they have to do something good.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't really do anything good in this movie. Not that I can recall. At all. So why would I care? Even there's a movie called Inside Llewellyn Davis. He is one of the most unlikable mm-hmm. assholes ever, but he does have a literal save the cat moment. So it's fine. Mm-hmm. And in this, he's getting a blowjob, and then you think that this older gypsy guy, played by this actor Michael Constantine, who was the father from My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh my god, that's why he looked familiar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he's got this gross, like...
open wound.
Open wound on his nose and long hair. And he looks like a character out of Twin... He looks like the long-haired dude from Twin Peaks.
Oh, a rejected character from the Poltergeist sequels.
Yeah. And... you assumed it was his wife, goes out and is like, it's cold, Papa. I will go outside. And then is in the middle of the street for some reason as Billy's getting a blowjob. And then, boom, gets run over, gets her head smashed in like a watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
And, and all that stuff. Oh, yes. Cameo by Stephen King as well as the pharmacist, who later said they were stealing stuff. They were not. That stereotypical Romani thing of them stealing things.
Mm-hmm.
They do not. Or if they do, I don't know.
Or they only grab a button from your coat and they're giving it back.
Yes. It's a negative stereotype is what mm-hmm. I'm trying to say. I wouldn't know. I've never met a Romani person. But he gets off the hook because he gets the judge, Rosington, to... say, oh, it was an accident. And
he was not drunk.
He was not drunk. He wasn't really drunk, but he was definitely not sober.
Yeah, he was distracted.
Yeah, he was very distracted. And the local chief as well, Hopley, says, oh, his breathalyzer test came back fine. It was nothing. And we learned later that was a lie, so he committed perjury.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel like this always happens, where because he's friends with them, he's got them in their pocket, and vice versa.
And it's showing the shadiness that is still is really
very relevant. Yeah, fuck you. We're not gonna say who, but we've made it very
There's
clear.
So many people.
We've made it very, very clear what our stances are on certain things, so we don't need to beat a dead horse in this case, or a dead Romani woman. But as he's exiting the courtroom, the father, his name was Tadzu Lemke, he comes out and he just touches his face and goes, thinner, and then just leaves. And... yeah, you're like, okay, whatever. It's weird.
And then the next day, Billy notices that he lost 7 pounds in less than a day. And even the wife was like, wow, maybe he's out of guilt. And that's the thing. He's on a diet with the shakes. Couldn't the wife be more like a bitch? And she was like, hey, you should eat less even though you're doing the milkshake. That's a little bit inconsistent, but I know it was the 90s. Because I remember those milkshakes saying that you can eat whatever crap you want, but still only have the milkshake. But then again, the mission was a fucking protein shake. So you were thinking we're eating more. Yeah, and so then he goes to like playing golf. And some people are giving comments that he got away with murder because of what he did, because he has a affair with the judge.
Because his lawyer was Annalise. If you've seen, I had to do that because I know, Raul, you love that show.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe the Billy character was his teacher for Annalise. You never know.
That's possible.
Mm-hmm, that's possible. And so I think Bart Bass in Gossip Girl, if I remember correctly, he was a lawyer too.
I believe so. Just always plays upper class assholes, it seems. Or RoboCop.
He was in RoboCop.
The terrible third movie. The terrible one. But he's also in Tombstone.
Oh, yeah. And so then he goes into like kind of like the showers of the skull place, and they notice that the judge has kind of like a weird mark on his chest. And then he says that the same Romani man touched him on his chest and says something. But also, Billy goes to the weigh machine and he notices that he lost 6 more pounds in a course of like 5 hours.
It's because that motherfucker doesn't stop eating. That's why. And the more he eats, the more weight he loses.
So that's the thing. If he could have stopped eating, he would have had more time to try to resolve the problem.
I actually really like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is getting what he gets what he fucking deserves.
Mm-hmm. And then he loses like 40 pounds in less than 2 weeks. And the wife is totally worried. Was like, what if you have cancer? You should test yourself. And then he goes to Dr. Mike.
So here's the thing about that. You only lose weight with cancer when you do treatment.
Mm-hmm. Not the cancer itself. That's a good catch.
You don't lose weight until you start doing treatments.
I was thinking of diabetes though, because I know a lot of diabetic people, when they have it like really bad, they lose a lot of weight.
This dude has like type 1 diabetes for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just because we don't see him put any insulin in doesn't mean that with how much he eats, the fact that he started out with almost 300 pounds and at the beginning of this movie. Yeah, that's saying something.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens then after this?
Then he goes to the fat store, to the big and tall store.
The store from Back to School.
Yes.
You're a melon.
Not only that, also reminding me of that scene from Friends. I was like, and then he went up and up and up.
Oh, like,
that's how they do it in prison.
Joey Taylor is a very bad man. He was uncomfortably, like, his face was uncomfortably close to his crotch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was just like, I thought of the same thing with Friends. I was just like, there was definite cupping.
Yeah, like, because he was so close to his crotch, it was like, oh, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, are you going to blow him right now?
And he's like, I can eat as much as I want and still lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's being that, ha ha ha, look at me. So unbearably arrogant, though.
And the teenage daughter, she's like, I'm so worried because what if you're going through male menopause? I'm like, I was like, okay, this is an interesting line.
Everybody in this movie is also really, really stupid, except for the Romani people. They're the only ones with any sense.
Maybe that's a subversion. Because we root for them, though. Mm-hmm. We cannot root for the Romani people, though.
You do. You do. I rooted for them. I wanted them to, like, I'm like, yeah, why? But the problem is they're not framed as the main characters.
Yeah, that's one of the problems with the movie. I think you have focused more on the granddaughter character. I think we would have liked it a little more.
Oh my gosh, yeah. She's great looking as well. Mm-hmm.
What they're trying to do, is it me or didn't
the although her last name is fucking Romani.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a writer thing.
Her name is Gina. Mm-hmm. And she was the sheriff from Eight-Legged Freaks.
Hmm.
That's the one with David Arquette.
Yes.
Yeah.
And isn't that one of the first movies with Scarlett Johansson?
No, that's Home Alone 3.
I know that Scarlett Johansson is also in Eight-Legged Freaks.
Is she?
Yeah.
Is she? Let me look that up.
Yeah, so the mother, the wife is like, you're tearing your daughter apart, Billy.
You are right. You are right. I forgot. I think she was the teenage daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She's done a lot.
They find out in his blood work that he has nothing, no diseases. He has amazing vitals, and he has no parasites or tapeworm. Nothing kind of like the movie that I saw recently, My Best Friend's Exorcism, when you see a girl getting the tapeworm out of her mouth. That's one of the best scenes in the movie. And I really, like, Gen Z would call it a mid movie, but that was a good scene, though. And then he goes to see what happened to the judge, but he sees in a restaurant that the wife of the judge, forgot her name right now, but I call her, she's the cancer lady from Christmas with the Cranks. She was the neighbor lady.
Oh my gosh. She goes absolutely nuts.
Yes, because he immediately tells him that he heard the word that the judge got from the Romani person. It was like he said lizard. So he's like, his eyes are bright, so they're bright during the dark, and his skin is peeling off. And I was like, and then he has horns, hands as his claws. I was like, what did the old man tell you, Billy? You tell me what you believe then. She acted really good for that moment. Like, she knew she only had like 5 minutes of screen time. She's like, I'm gonna rock it.
Yeah, this would have been a good scene if the pacing was better.
Yeah.
Because they just rushed through it. I'm like, if they just slowed down like another minute, mm-hmm. it would have been a great scene. Tom Holland is doing his best. It's actually directed very well.
It looks great.
Yeah. Like, from a visual standpoint and all that stuff, all the blocking is good. It's not bad. The problem is that it has weird editing choices.
Mm-hmm.
And that really fucks up the pace of the movie. And yeah, the story could be better.
Yeah.
Because it introduces this idea of, obviously, Stephen King likes social commentary and mm-hmm. hates bullies and is like, hey, let's just make the bully characters the main characters.
Yeah.
And delve into that. But they don't really delve into that. I assume they do that in the novel where it's based off of, but, and I understand it's like they are getting what they deserve, but you're also supposed to root for these guys. They never make it very clear if you should root for them or not.
That's true.
So that was a problem for me, is that it really could have explored some of the stuff that they were exploring or that they were setting on the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then he goes to visit the sheriff guy. And is it technically kind of like the screen is telling us that he has kind of like, he's a leper now? He has like
leprosy? Pretty much. He has these disgusting pimples. Great. This is another thing I love about this movie. The practical effects are awesome. Not even, or just like the makeup is really good. And he's just like, all right. I also believe that this is a curse. Because Billy's just, like, denying, and he's just like, oh, I'm just going to go to the clinic or whatever, but it doesn't seem to do anything. And they're just like, if you find that bastard, because he says the other word, kill him, will you? Kill him! Kill him! And he's got these disgusting, like...
And giving him a gun, but he didn't take it.
Yeah. Kill him! And as he's leaving, you just hear, boom!
Mm-hmm.
So he shot himself. Because he was probably caught by Chris Hansen or something.
Yeah, and then...
That's a South Park joke, by the way. Why don't you take a seat?
Yeah, and then he goes to the funeral, and he's arguing with his wife. And I was like...
massive dick to his wife, too.
Yes, he is. But also, this is the other thing about the movie. And even now, when I was a kid, too, even seeing it right now, I'm still kind of like, is the movie trying to make us think that maybe he's, because with the curse and everything, now what he's seeing could be all real? Because I always thought also when I was a kid that she never had an affair, that it was totally in his head because we were over jealous because of the curse.
Well, that's where it was going at first.
Mm-hmm.
And that made it a little interesting. I was like, what? I guess it's just the paranoia and all that stuff. So I would understand that because, you know, he was obviously a big fat dick. Mm-hmm. So, of course, why would she want to stay with him or whatever? But then I also thought, well, probably for the daughter or whatever, because she tried to guilt him as well.
Or the money.
Yeah, or the money. That's definitely the case. That's always been the case for some people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just going to say it. Harvey Weinstein's wife, she only stayed for the money, obviously. Yeah. Like, there's no way that disgusting fuck could get a woman that
beautiful. We have seen Harvey Weinstein many times. We don't like him, but he's always...
He made great work, but my God, what... The lowest of the low. Lowest of the low. And got what he deserved.
Yeah, and then he noticed that he's already lost 100 pounds. And then he's like, he's still getting like so in panic, but he's still also getting jealous that he, maybe that his wife and the Dr. Mike are having sex, like having an affair behind his back. So he goes to see the carnival, to see the Romani people. And I totally forgot about this scene that he's, you see all of the creepy dolls. And I wish that the camera would have focused a little more on them, on the creepy dolls of like, and it looks cool though. Like you see like the Billy character, like almost no skin and all bone. And you see also the Josh, like little doll with all of the skin like falling out too. And the other one with the leper. And I was like, I wish that scene would have breathed a little more. And maybe like seeing kids playing with those dolls, maybe thinking that maybe Billy will be also part of kind of like a twisted game.
You want to know, I just realized what this is. It's just a mid episode of Tales from the Crypt.
Or Twilight Zone.
But definitely, if it was during the 90s, this would have been a Tales from the Crypt episode for sure.
Yeah.
Like, it's very 90s. Like, also, how it's shot and everything, it feels like it's made for TV.
Also, what the hell, that Tales from the Crypt is still not available on streaming? What the hell?
Yeah, it's a great, great show.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that last season, up until the literal series finale, mm-hmm. Is not great, but it's got some really good stuff. But we're getting off track. We keep going off track because honestly, it's kind of a forgettable movie for me. I'm just gonna. Mm-hmm. I was like, yep, I already forgot. And
calm yourself, Jeremy Jones. Yeah, I already forgot. Yeah, but then after this, he gets like the judge picks him up. We see him driving. I was like, it's all your fault, and he's like. You're seeing kind of like a little sprinkles of his like skin falling up, and you see a little blood, and he's driving. But then we get the technically the boss of the Romani people is in a truck, and it feels like I was like, is this a nod to our next movie that we're gonna see, because there were some truck scenes in this movie?
maybe.
And then like he's almost about to get smashed between two trucks, but then he wakes up and it was a nightmare. But he finds out that the judge also just died.
He crashed his car into a gas station. I would have liked to have seen that. Or I would have liked to have seen the judge multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
See him gradually turn into this lizard person or whatever.
And that's the other thing that I'm like, I wonder if there's different edits. Because I remember when I was a kid, there's a scene.
Oh, yeah. But
he goes to find the judge and he's like crying or not like in a bathtub. And you see his skin falling off.
Yeah, it would have worked more. It's just, instead it happens off screen.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is the great-granddaughter mm-hmm. of Tadzu Lemke, who, by the way, is 106 years old. So that makes a lot of sense. Because mm-hmm. it turned out that woman was Suzanne, was his mm-hmm. daughter. And then he was like, no way, because he hired an investigator as well mm-hmm. to help track down. So that's how we learned that. And his great-granddaughter, Gina, she is very psychotic when it comes to... She shoots him with a slingshot, like, multiple times. She shoots the car window and all that stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, you do realize that you are seen as the instigator, right? He didn't attack you or anything. And
then she's going to be like, Bart, it wasn't me. Dun, 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 dun. It wasn't me.
I didn't say the line, Bart. I didn't do it. No, but she really hates this guy, and mm-hmm. it's justified, especially with what happens later. She killed her
his mama, and I was like, she called you the white man from town. Why didn't you saw us, white man?
Yeah.
You think, and then Billy says, like, do you think that doing this curse to all three of us is gonna bring her back? The judge is already dead, the cop is already dead, and then he's like, justice is about justice, it's gypsy justice, coming soon to CBS.
And by the way, he also called Richie mm-hmm. Joe Mantegna, who actually conveniently does believe in curses, so he's mm-hmm. just like, yeah, sure, I'll help you out, because he's like, hey, you got me off from murder, so
mm-hmm. I owe you a favor. Mm-hmm.
And Fat Tony always pays back his debts. And you can just kind of hear a little bit of that whenever he in this movie.
That's true.
Whenever he talks, I hear a little bit of Fat Tony.
Did he fuck up with the pretzel business?
We're the only pretzels in this town. Do, do, do. Oh, man. And that had one of the best guest stars ever, Jack Lemmon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Also one of the best actors ever to have lived
with Jack Lemmon. We bring Walter Matthau and John Lemmon. Wow.
Exactly. We brought the odd couple.
Yes.
Because we are the odd couple.
That's true.
And, I mean, we're not actually a couple, but you know what I mean. And Richie has an associate. He tracks down.
You already disappointed the shippers.
The what shippers? You? he tracks down where the Romani are. And then he gets sent back with a chicken head. And it said, white man, leave town.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does Richie do? He poisons all the dogs that mm-hmm. they have and then leaves a note saying white man from town says take it off.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he's trying to get the curse lifted and then they're like, well, yeah, no, fuck you. Because
the Billy character said, was like, and now I'm in the white man and I will give you a curse. The white
Oh, actually, no, town. No. They reversed it. So Richie mm-hmm. poisoned the dogs first. And mm-hmm. then they found the man that tracked him, and then they retaliated. So it's a full-on war.
Yep.
But then what does he do? He gets an AK-47 and starts fucking shooting the camp. And he kills one of them.
That boyfriend.
No, the husband of Gina. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she, of course, is like, no, and everything. I always thought, like, they accidentally shot him as well, like friendly fire.
I also thought it was an accident, too.
Yeah, maybe that was the edit that I saw. Because mm-hmm. it looked like he got kidnapped or something.
Well, no, technically, Yeoman Tenya, in the version that I saw, he technically bumps the husband down, pulls him in kind of like handcuffs and shuts his mouth.
Yes, that's what I saw.
As he shoots down the trailer to almost kill the Romani chief, then when the Romani chief gets out, he technically throws into the camp the husband character.
That's where I saw it too.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, it's like, no, and then obviously the police come and all that stuff, but then Richie impersonates someone from the FBI, and I'm like, it's Agent Rossi, so mm-hmm. all I think of is Criminal Minds. And he gets her to, I love that his disguise, by the way, is just literally putting on a pair of glasses. He does the Clark Kent approach, and then he somehow lures her to this barn.
Mm-hmm.
Very serial killer move of him. And then
Castiel doesn't show up.
No, but Billy does. And then he's like, oh, I'm actually the hammer or whatever. And mm-hmm. then she's just like, it was you. And he's just like, yeah, and I'm about to do it to you. And he starts like beating the shit out of her too. But then mm-hmm. Billy is just like, no, don't kill her. And he's like, the only reason why you're still alive is because my friend asked. But that will break your legs with legs who will break your legs.
And then he puts that cup of like acid.
He's just like, eat it, bitch.
Ah!
Yeah. That was actually soda. I was testing. Yeah, but here's the real acid. And then I think they're going to try to run her over.
Yes, but they didn't, and then she, this is the other thing,
amateur jigsaw trap, you when must get the kid, acid off.
That scene was not in the version that I saw, because immediately after the nightmare that he has about the judge, it jumps of him waiting for the Romani person to tell him about the pie. I'm like, did my version in cable skip those 20 minutes with John Mantegna killing the Romani people?
Oh my gosh, and Billy at this point, he is like a walking corpse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he actually does look like a cancer patient.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, like, he can barely even put on clothes. It's it's great makeup. But anyway, he's just like, tell your great-grandfather to meet us at the lighthouse in 2 hours, or else.
There is no Robert Pattinson jerking off.
No, unfortunately not. That would have made this movie a hell of a lot more memorable. And then he comes in, and then he's just like, all right, fine, I'll lift the curse for you. Just please stop.
But it was like he said, the curse has a catch. And then he...
Because there's always a catch with these things. There's always a catch.
And so he's like, and I was like, look at this pie. Looks delicious, right? And then he fucks up with his wound.
Gina shot him in the hand. Mm-hmm. Like in the middle, like of his hand stuff. So there's like a big hole in there.
Mm-hmm. Jenna Ortega stuff from Scream 5.
Pretty much. And he once again, he's just like, I'm going to need your blood. And he just stabs right through it. Gets a little bit more than he needed.
And then this is a frame that I will never forget. The pie is moving with those really nice practical effects, like Freddy Krueger style, and he's eating the blood.
Yes.
And so he says, you will start gaining weight from right now, but people that you don't like has to eat this pie.
So it's basically, can't stop the curse, but you can just pass it on to somebody else, like It Follows style.
Or like You Drive Me to Hell.
Or Drag Me to Hell. I guess it's just I guess that's consistent.
Mm-hmm. And whatever. So I was like, but I love what the Romani person said. I was like, but you can die clean and eat the pie yourself.
Yeah, just die with some dignity, please. And he's just like, fuck that. And he's like, Lemke is just like, whatever, it's your choice, but my work is done. Oh, yeah, this is all in Connecticut, by the way. Mm-hmm. So that's why. And then he drives back to Castle Rock, where his home is. He's got a very home and garden looking home as well.
Yes.
It looks very boring. And then he returns home with the pie. And since he believes his wife's been cheating, he leaves the pie out in the kitchen and says it's a strawberry pie, which I have never seen the strawberry pie baked like that.
I had never seen a strawberry pie in my lifetime. I only know that about cherry ones, but I didn't even know there was a strawberry one. Yeah,
that's the other thing. I've never seen like a strawberry pie. Mm-hmm. Like strawberry shortcake and stuff like that. Yeah.
Or strawberry like cheesecake, but not a pie.
Oh, yeah. Strawberry cheesecake is delicious. Mm-hmm. Don't tempt me. Anyway, he's like, I'm going to go to bed. Payback, bitch. And he just goes up because he's like, I'm just tired, I'm exhausted. And so he goes up and he's just like, oh, did you try it? And then it turns out, yes, she did, because she is now like a rotting corpse.
Yeah, a dried up corpse.
And then the weirdest fucking thing, he kisses it. I'm like, dude, you might as well just be like kissing like an open like herpes scar.
Well, it's also because he's already so psychotic at this moment. I cannot lie, understand.
Very that. Jack Torrance vibes.
Yeah.
From The Shining. Like, very much. I was like, this guy would have been a great Jack Torrance. Mm-hmm. And then...
instead of the guy from Wings in the TV movie.
Yep. He seems to be happy of that his curse is gone. And what he believes is his disloyal life.
Wife. But the biggest symbol of irony is Sam Raimi style.
The daughter that we don't care about, but who's actually trying, turns out she had a piece of the pie. And minutes before, she's just like, oh, I just had some pie for breakfast, because there was two plates in the sink. Mm-hmm. And that she's going to die at any minute. Mm-hmm. And he also learns that Richie Ginelli had been found dead in New York under mysterious circumstances. Mm-hmm. So it seems like they took revenge on him. So basically, he lost his friend, he lost his wife, and he's now lost his daughter.
But then also you notice that because he was about to eat the pie, because like he regrets
in the novel,
that, like,
he does
in that moment, like, because he knows that he already fucked up, that his daughter is about to die. But then he goes back into psychotic mode, because then the bell rings and then he sees this Dr. Mike character. He was going to go and see his wife.
Then he's just like, oh, I didn't expect you here. What are you doing? And he's, of course, Billy is like, it's a bit early for a house call, don't you think? Mm-hmm. He's like, I'll come back later. So it seemingly confirms his suspicions. Mm-hmm. But he's just like, No, why don't you just come in for a piece of pie? Why don't you just have a seat?
Mm-hmm.
And then he's just like, it's good. And then he serial killer stares at the camera and then closes the door. And that's how it ends.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, this was just, it's not one of his worst adaptations, but it's not super memorable either. Certain things are good. It's in
the middle of the road.
It's so mid. It's definitely the weakest of the stuff that we've seen.
I hate sounding like a Gen Z, but yeah, it's true. It's really mid.
We gotta cater to that audience.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's very mid-tier. Mm-hmm. But there are some good stuff in it. It's well-directed. The acting is very hammy. Honestly, I would have
preferred to see Black Adam again.
Oh, as long as it's not that kid. God.
You would have gotten a piece of the pie to that kid.
Yes. He sucked. And definitely not the last of the terrible child actors in the DC Extended Universe. And, I mean, Aquaman and Suicide Squad definitely are both have terrible, well, not really child. Well, one is child and then the other was like teen, but young actors. But, yeah, just not really much to say about Thinner. I thought it was fine, I guess. Mm-hmm. Not in a real rush to rewatch it. Glad I saw it, though. I mean, at least once.
Yeah, well, you can take it out from your Stephen King list of movies that you haven't seen, but also, it's kind of like mid, but I was not bored. I thought that it was mid. I was but it's not as, scary. I remember it as a kid. But I was a kid, and so I was like, and now I was like, I get it. Like you said, it's a Tales from the Crypt kind of episode. We'll give it a rating. We'll give it a 6. It's totally like,
5.5. So yeah, not much to say, but thanks for tuning in anyway. Mm-hmm. We're almost done with the month and decided to go with a movie that Stephen King himself directed. And my God, wasn't an experience. Next week, we're going to be talking about one of the craziest movies we have ever seen. It's one of the craziest movies ever. Maximum Overdrive.
I'm just going to say yes.
Yes. Until then, where can the good people find you, buddy?
You can find me as always at Raul Vader RDC on Twitter, Instagram, and on Letterboxd. And our Raul Vader RDC, please follow the podcast and SYN Spot on Twitter. And please give us a follow and nice review on Apple, Spotify, whatever, and you believe.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter and Letterboxd at MasterofPuns196. Every word starts with a capital letter. You can also follow me on Instagram at Billy Batson's Lightning. Nothing is capitalized. And once again, you can follow our main show Twitter at SYNSPod, as well as give us a 5-star and just write a review on Apple Podcasts. And also listen to us on Google, Stitcher, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, wherever podcasts are listened to. And as always,
see you next summer. Nippy Key Dinner. Dun, 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 dun.